This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Final seconds will tick down as the Boston Celtics come up with a 40-point fourth quarter and a stunning double-digit comeback to rally and win Game 1 of the NBA Finals on the road. Celtics take it 120-108 over the Golden State Warriors.
And all of a sudden, the Celtics have that 1-0 lead in this series. All of a sudden, they take a game that looked like the Warriors were dominating, and all of a sudden, does the narrative change about the NBA Finals? That's the voice of Mark Kestenscher, ESPN Radio, on the call last night. And we are live on an Effin' Friday, Bart Scott, Alan Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. So, Bart, I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to ask everybody listening at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Did what you saw last night, did it change your view of the NBA Finals?
Well, first of all, congratulations to the Celtics going into a hostile environment. This is kind of like what we're used to seeing when you go and now, I don't know if you've done this, Alan, you rent a movie and you turn a movie on and they have at the end alternative endings. And I thought I was watching a regular scheduled movie and where like Michael Myers always lives or the hero always survives. But somebody pushed alternative endings. And I think it was Al Horford. I think it was Al Horford. Al Horford was like, no. Al Horford was like, you know what? No, I'm playing for my basketball legacy as well. Yeah. I was in purgatory. I was out there on an island all by myself, just me and Wilson. Or I guess I could say me and Spalding. I was just out there just floating around the little island that was Oklahoma. And finally I found land and I came back. And unlike Castaway, Boston still loved me. They didn't marry anybody else and forget about me. So you look at what Al Horford did yesterday.
Right.
And what he was able to do, kind of turn the clock back. And, you know, it's going to remain to be, I think, a theme. The penetration of the athletic wings in the dish, right? Hard to come down and support when you got guys sitting wide open at the three-point. And I think Draymond said it. Who said Effin' Fridays? It's Draymond Green. You know, Draymond Green said, hey, okay, at his press conference, 15 for 23 as far as threes from two guys, White, Horford. Yeah, I think we'll live with that. But listen,
right?
What you worry about, it's like NBA jams, you're getting extremely hot. And you think, okay, well, they'll come back to earth. Well, what if they don't? And that's what I think was most surprising, that Golden State couldn't close out the show after doing what they always do in the third quarter, creating separation, only to be hawked down by a young team that the supporting cast seemingly has no fear of. I mean, you look at White. You look at Horford, you expect that from him. But the others played well, too, even though Jason Tatum struggled just a bit.
Just a bit, yeah, and I'll get into that in a moment. So as Bart is talking about, with the Celtics, it would shoot 21 of 41, Bart Scott. 51.2% from three-point range. It's insane. Al Horford was 6 for 8. Derek White was 5 for 8. Marcus Smart was 4 for 7. That's 15 for 23 out of that 21 for 41 coming from those guys. And a lot of it happened in that fourth quarter where the Warriors just suddenly had a lead and it was gone. 40-16, they were outscored. It was 17-0 run.
40-point quarter.
That turned the game around. But you mentioned Draymond Green saying, we're not worried.
They hit 21 threes, and Marcus Smart, Al Horford, and Derek White combined for 15 of them. So those guys are good shooters, but they combined for, 15 out of 8? Where's Smart? 7, 8, 15 for 23. 8, 7, and 8. 8, 7, and 8. Yeah, that's 23, right? Yeah. 15 for 23 from those guys. Yeah, you know, so be fine.
Draymond doing the same math I was doing, making sure that I was right. That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, by the way. No compromise. I could speak today. Here's a great stat from the great people we have at the SIG group, the stats information group that we have at ESPN. And they do an amazing job during games putting all these stats out, and that helps out a lot of the analysts and different people like me that are covering the event. The Celtics shot 38% above expectation on three-pointers in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
38% above expectation. So the expected percentage on those threes that they took, which I guess is based on the player likelihood, right? The player, what they shoot. The expected was 37%. The actual was 75%. It's the highest any team has shot above expectation on three-pointers in the fourth quarter of a playoff game since 2014. Like, you know,
who was
you
that
have
in 2014? Was it Golden State in 2014?
Golden State won there in 2014. It's not the finals. It was the playoffs. So okay. I don't know who it was, but they didn't make reference to who it was. But the bottom line is it was basically, as you heard Draymond say again, Smart, Horford, and White. And I, again, covering the Western Conference Finals like I did, talked a lot, heard a lot from Steve Kerr. And Steve Kerr would say about the Mavericks, who took the most threes of any team in the NBA. They jack them up. And he said, we're going to let them have are they good enough to have a lights out shooting from 3-point range kind of day? And if they do, we tip our cap, we move on to the next game, because you're betting that they can't do it four times in the series. Mm-hmm. And the Mavericks did it in game four to stay alive, barely. But they weren't able to do it for a full game, for enough of that series to win more than one game. And I think Kerr is looking at the Celtics the same way. Okay. Like, you're expecting Al Horford and you're expecting Derek White. You're expecting these guys to be that hot from 3-point range? I don't think so. So that's why, like, part of me feels like I'm not worried. I'm not concerned if I'm the Warriors. I look at it as they played. I mean, Steph Curry was insane in the first quarter. He was great in the first quarter. I look at it as this was the thing that works against the Warriors. We're going to let you shoot threes, and if you get hot, good for you. But the thing you can't do is Boston has different kind of people than Dallas did. And I don't think it was just the threes. Jalen Brown, the second star on this team.
Exactly.
Started that fourth quarter, and I feel like it was Jalen Brown who kind of triggered what we saw, that 17-0 run that just flipped the game. And before Steph Curry could realize, you see that shot of him on the bench when he looked like he was just staring off into space, like, what the hell just happened? I was having the night of my life.
Yeah.
How did we lose this game? I think that's the danger point, is you can shut down Jason Tatum, who couldn't shoot. And he had an impact on the game, though. I'll get to that in a little bit. But you could try to lock up Tatum and frustrate him like they did Luka Doncic. But Jaylen Brown, that's a problem. And he could be the X factor in this series.
I mean, he's always been like – you remember, like, I always go back to my Pistons days,
of
right?
Of course.
Because it's like the second star that steps up and people are acting surprised. And it's just like when Joe Dumars got the MVP for the back-to-back title that they had. Mm-hmm. And he just got on fire and caught fire because you put so much attention, so much of your game plan was stopping Isaiah Thomas, not letting him get off. You know, think doing everything to do Jason Tatum. But listen, this is the thing. Those shots were uncontested shots. They were wide open shots. They weren't, you know, where they had to challenge and make a difficult play. And you have to have better defense.
Well, because they were in transition. That was the other thing that happened a lot, too, and that's what the Celtics are so good at. That's how they were able to beat the Heat so easily. Half court, the Celtics are not very good.
Right.
But when they run off of your misses, they're dangerous because they all of a sudden move the ball so well, and they get those open shots you were talking about. Now, with that in mind, the ball movement, let me point this out. So Tatum had a bad game, right? Right? Everybody's saying Tatum had a bad game.
Yeah.
They locked him up. Jason Tatum was 3-for-17 from the field. 3-for-17. Awful. 12 points? Oh, he's terrible. No. Listen to this. He assisted on 35 points in this game. He had 13 assists. So that's 35 points he assisted on, second most in a finals game over the last 25 years. The previous, the one that has the most was also a Celtic, Rajon Rondo. You know what year it was? The year they won the championship.
Yeah.
08. He had 37. He assisted on 37 points in a game. So there's a little bit of that synergy going on. But to say Tatum didn't play well is insane, because the 13 assists, the playmaking, the willingness to know, even though he took 17 shots, the willingness to know, I'm getting doubled, they're putting pressure on me, I will find the open man, trusting them, and then the open man obviously hitting those shots. The three-point shot bar, it changes everything, man.
Yeah,
it changes everything.
And here's the thing.
I'm sorry. I got one more for you. I'm sorry. I'm collecting all these notes. I got one more I want to get to. Jason Tatum also, when he is a willing passer, 7 assists or more in a game, his team is 17-2 when he has at least 7 assists.
Yep.
All right.
And he's understanding how to play.
They have success when he passes the ball.
He's understanding how to play. And here's the problem, man. Like, if they can't stop, you know, Jaylen Brown from getting and breaking down the defense, you know, whether it's in half court or not, when you talk about half court, what's some of their best half court possessions? You know, as I got the game in the background right now, and I'm watching, Jaylen Brown just break down the defense in the half court set. Yes. And Draymond's assuming a lot, right? He's saying that they can't do that. Well, he shot 2 for 12. One, that's high for him, right? That means they're giving him the open shots, and he's not even coming close, right? So he has to be better. But if Klay doesn't show up, it's over. If Klay doesn't show up.
Klay had one of those games
and
again.
Poole looked down.
A little Jay Will said this morning.
Deer in the headlights.
Jay Will said that this morning. He's absolutely right.
Why are they letting him try and go one-on-one with Marcus Smart when he's a defensive player of the year and you helping out Steph Curry? You help out Steph Curry, arguably a Hall of Famer, and you think, oh, Poole, go do your thing. Man, like, Smart is like, you know I'm Marcus Smart, right?
Right.
Like, who do y'all think this dude is? Like, I guard the best, and y'all just go, and he think he going to go one-on-one with me? Good luck with that. He just, give me your milk and cookies. Meanwhile, Steph, like, help me. Give me a pick. Get him off. And that's the problem. They're big, they're strong, and if you can't have more resistance than what, you know, the Golden State Warriors had, like, you can't assume, man, because
I just feel
the up and down yo-yo.
They were in control, Bar. I'm sorry.
They were, but it's the yo-yo.
You're right. Here's where we differ, and here's, of course, where we'll bring in the callers at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Because you can see it. You can hear it in his voice. He's a little concerned now about what he saw. If the Celtics don't do this, if they don't do that, you got to be careful. And I'm looking at it like they were very much in control. Steph was an MVP for most of this game, and then all of a sudden things just got – like it just was an avalanche. They couldn't stop it, and it was at the worst possible time. And the next thing you know, they had a loss. I am not worried. Like Draymond said, you think these guys are going to shoot like this every game? You're crazy. So, do you agree with me or Bart? Did your view change on the NBA Finals after last night? We'll get to your calls next after Bart has this. Like back in about 20 seconds after Bart tells us about Straight Talk Wireless.
Nope, it's going to be 25 seconds. I'm going to take my damn time.
23
Cutting
seconds.
The price of your wireless bill feels good. I mean, really good. Actually, it feels great. You should try it. So cut your bill by switching to Straight Talk Wireless, now offering our $45 silver unlimited plan with 5 gigabytes of hotspot and nationwide 5G on America's largest, most dependable networks. The $45 silver unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. A month equals 30 days. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G compatible device required.
Four,
availability,
three,
coverage,
two,
our speeds may vary.
One.
You better wrap it up.
I had him at 27 seconds.
Damn it. I can be better, guys.
But who's counting?
The good news is, right.
I can change.
It's Bart Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. The good news is, though, that Bart didn't read the line that says music out of the live read.
That was disappointing.
I was about to.
You know what? I don't know.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. We do that hockey tonight. Can the Rangers go 2-0?
Quack, 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 quack.
That's a garden against the Lightning. See the Avalanche last night? I mean, the Oilers have no goaltending whatsoever.
Yeah, they,
apparently. Mike Smith is just getting – I mean, that's 4 goals. That's 4-0. Their backup goalie.
Yeah.
How do you say – is this Francois? Francouz? However you say his name.
Francois.
Is that how you want to put it? Feng Shui?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Kenny Albert was pronouncing it last night. I was trying to, like, get it right, and I just kept – no, that's not – that doesn't sound right. Anyways, he got the shutout as the backup because their starter got hurt. But the Avalanche are up 2-0. Can the Rangers do this now to the Lightning? So we got hockey to talk about. The Jets were – Jets and Jets, 100 days away. The Jets put this out. That's why I said Jets. 100 days away from kickoff of their season opener because of obviously from the Sunday games. So all the Sunday games are 100 days away, so certainly a lot to get to on the football side of things. In baseball, if you're just joining us, the Philadelphia Phillies are looking for a new manager. Joe Girardi out. We're barely not even a quarter into the season, but expectations still not met in Philadelphia, so Girardi out as manager there. Buster Olney's going to join us later on in the show to get deeper into that. So plenty to get to. We do have your calls to get to as well, so let's begin with them. After last night's performance by the Celtics in the fourth quarter to win game one of the NBA Finals, did your view change on this series? We go to the calls. We begin with Bruce in Wisconsin. Bruce.
Good afternoon. No, my
my call didn't change at all. I'm sticking with it. I have the Celtics in five. I would not be surprised if they won in. I would not be surprised if they swept them. Ooh. One thing, you guys mentioned a ton of statistics, and that's all real. One thing that is not measurable by any statistic, tenacity, hunger, and youthfulness. Oh. They are going to dog them. And Golden State was bragging about the extra time they had to rest, and yet they looked completely gassed. They looked like Conor McGregor in the second round of a five-round fight. Gassed.
Yes.
Yeah. Al Horford, 75,000 right. years old.
But no, Bruce is right about that one part, though. The fourth quarter, they looked a little tired as a team. And not tired from fatigue, but more tired of your game speed, game win. Like, you know, they were sitting for a week. You know, there is something to be said about that. Now, will this impact of having that rest, will you feel it in game three maybe, in game four? Maybe, but we'll see. But I don't disagree with that. That part I don't disagree with. But the sweep? I mean, let's dial that one back a little bit.
You're being disrespectful because remember, Celtics are good for one of those eggs that they lay every 2 years. It don't matter if it's at home or on the
every
road.
Other
they
game?
They lay an egg. I mean, and also, you know, I think really, and this is always hard. The blessing is, okay, well, we got Iguodala back and we got Otto Porter back. That's perfect. But what that does is that messes up your rotations. And guys don't know how to play with each other, chemistry and things like that. Draymond can't be taken. Like, I'm watching right now. It's like 4 minutes left in the playback game. Draymond came down. They're down six, and he shot
a three.
Make a
free throw, too.
But he shot a three. Yeah, what the hell is you doing, son? You ain't Danny Dancho line. Did you not forget who you were?
That was the end of the shot clock shot, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
He was bad. 2 of 12, 0 for 4. He definitely struggled. He did not play well. That's fair to say. He did not play well.
And another thing, mm-hmm. to notice just quickly is the fact that when they put Al Horford at the five against Looney, that opens the court up so much, and they can't keep up, and it gives Boston so much space.
So true.
Right. So that now you're talking about that matchup. So now who's going to be your big? Draymond has to be your big.
Tice.
I'm saying Draymond has
on
to
the
be
other side, right.
They're big, and he has to go. They got to take Looney out and put Porter in.
They
got to
play that small lineup,
and
that works against them because of the length they have on the wings, like you were talking about earlier in the segment. All right, we go to Spencer in Connecticut. Spencer.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Well, what took you so damn long?
Don't make it your last time.
All the time. Trust me.
All right.
Trust me. I'm always on hold.
Awesome.
But no, my view did not change. I had the Celtics in seven the whole way.
Man,
seven, okay. Right.
Well, my point to that though is kind of twofold. I know Draymond says that he thinks the shooters are going to, 15 for 23, shooters are going to come back down to earth. But they were wide open looks. I mean, Horford, White, Smart, they're setting their feet. They're lining up the stripes and just knocking down shots.
Yeah, they'll adjust.
I'd expect them to hit those shots,
Well, not at a 50% clip, but you're gonna see an adjustment. But you'll take it. Like to me, Spencer, you stole this game. You were losing pretty much the whole way. Like the Warriors were in control. They were up 12, up 13. The biggest lead was 15 at one point. Like it felt like they were in control. So this was a steal. Stole it, ran out of the building, and you shouldn't apologize for it. There'll be an adjustment, of course. But the three-point shooting is the one thing everybody's in love with. It's like the home run in baseball. You have one game in a World Series where a team just hits four or five home runs, and it's like, well, if they're going to do this the whole series, that's not going to happen.
Yep.
It's night to night. So we'll see if it goes that way. But the three-point shot is going to be important regardless.
But here's the thing. Like, we've seen people get hot for a series, right?
Oh, yeah. No,
so this is just a series. Right, we've seen guys go on these crazy runs where they like, man, this dude can't miss in the finals.
Can't miss, yeah.
Right,
yeah,
seen that. And will it be a guy like White who's not a rookie?
Didn't we just see Marcus Smart miss five shots against the Heat, and now all of a sudden he can't miss a three?
But
what I'm saying?
But here's the thing, though. Like, you can't have nights where Poole and Clay is off. You can't have both of those guys off at one night. You can have Tatum. You can have a guy off like Tatum, one of them, but you can't have out of your four.
Tatum and Brown. Right.
Yeah, you can't have both of those guys off at one time.
Yeah, Clay definitely was kind of like he had a couple moments here and there early on, but he's still just overall and just very much like the playoffs for him. You're just kind of waiting to see more, and it hasn't shown up yet. We continue with D in Virginia. D.
Yes, this did change my opinion about the series. I thought the Celtics could possibly do it in seven. I want to say they could do it in five. They could probably do it in four if they win Sunday.
Where the hell are the Golden State? Where are the Golden State fans at? Up. Where the hell are the Golden State fans? Everybody, all these closet Barca fans.
Let him finish. Let him finish.
I think Wiggins is the guy that needs to step up for game two for them. You're talking about Klay Thompson, but Wiggins, I like him taking it in against the bigs to try to draw fouls on Robert Williams, because if you look in the fourth quarter, what the Celtics did was stay with their identity, and they ran with Horford and Williams. So
Wiggins had 20 points.
Now the Warriors have to actually adjust to that play style where opponents usually adjust to their play style.
Yeah, I mean, it's always about adjustments, too. Thank you, D. I mean, we are getting a lot of Celtics fans, including a person who's just identified as a Celtics fan that is on the phone. Celtics fan staying with the pick. I mean, it's shocking that you picked Boston, but sticking with it.
Yes. Is he there?
I don't know. There's no name attached to this on the call screen, so I don't know.
Yeah, they're going to have to defend, too, because this is the difference, right? When you look at, like, when they went to that little zone that they had before, when they went to that zone before, Mavericks really didn't have anybody that can break down penetration. Remember, Luka's, like, slow-moving guy. Jaylen Brown continuing to break down the zone just makes the defense have to suck in, and it creates those, like, easy shots in for the corner threes and on the wing. So That's the issue. Like, they're getting broken down. If their zone is getting broken down, it opens up shooters.
All right, let's continue. We got James in Jersey. James.
Well, I'd appreciate, gentlemen, how you doing? I'd appreciate if Bart stopped stealing my fury, because, first of all, where was the defense where these guys are shooting these wide-open threes? That's number one.
Transition.
Number two, nobody's going to shoot 65%. Four games. I don't care who you are. It hasn't been done. But Mr. Kerr is supposed to be the All-American, you know, great All-Pro coach. I'm so upset watching this series the way it's turned. Oh, my God. Golden State sitting back on their laurels and not playing defense. He's not coaching well. And now everybody wants to be a three-point shooter. Come on, man. Play the game of basketball and mix it up like you've been mixing it up. And then people might wonder and may not wonder why people pick Golden State. I'm going to be a Golden State fan no matter what until it comes to my Lakers, no matter what you say, Bart.
I pick Golden State in six, just so you know. I pick Golden State in six.
Yeah.
Because I thought they were too deep, because I didn't think that guys like White, I didn't think guys like Pickett, I didn't think guys like Williams would be able to play at a high level and they've been in their first finals. But it looked like what happened was the guys that got tight were Poole, maybe Klay. Pressing too much, like, you know, those.
Bart, I'm telling you, this game
Poole
was
like
in
fish,
their
man.
Hands.
Yeah, but Poole looked like a fish.
You're not wrong, but they still had this game in hand until a 17-0 run, which just had to do with missing shots that turned into transition, like just knock three after three after three. They just couldn't miss. Though they just got hot. The game flipped, and you looked up and you're like, oh my God, the game's over. Like, it's it. The game's over. And it just, they stole it and ran out of the building, and you don't have to apologize for it, but it doesn't mean you have to change how you feel about the series. I know I don't. I expect it to stay the way I say it's going to go, which is Warriors in six. Convince me if I'm wrong. We'll hear from more of you on Game 1 of the NBA Finals coming up, of course, with your calls. And also, how soon, Bart, before one team figures out they're going to need a quarterback? We'll discuss. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. We want you to tune into a National League Central battle tomorrow. You got the Cubs hosting the Cardinals. It's presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins 12:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. In just a few minutes, I want to ask this question. How long before one team realizes that they're going to need a quarterback, and they're going to need him this year? And it's not a team that you think. It's a team that thinks they have a quarterback. But do they? We'll get to that in a few moments. But first, back to your calls on the NBA Finals and what you saw in Game 1. Did it change your opinion of the series? We continue. We go to Chris in Florida. Chris.
Hey, guys. Chris here in Naples, Florida. Listen to you every day. Love you guys down here.
Thank you, man.
Hey, I just want to I just want to say I think we need to pump the brakes a little on Boston. I mean, we got to remember that Golden State's been there six out of the last 8 years, and I feel that they're going to regroup and really pour it on here in the next few games. I'd be surprised if it didn't end 4-2, maybe even 4-1.
I mean, I'm telling you, 4-2 is what I got. Chris, I mean, 4-2 is what I got. Thank you for the call, and always thank you for listening. And that's the other part of it, too, is you've got an experienced core that, right. You know, all right, we play a team. All right, we see what we did now. Okay, we see what they do. All right. And you make that adjustment. I mean, that's just the way it goes. Don is in Dallas. What's happening, Don?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Hey, we got a couple things to do. Me and Kerr is coaching like
this. Is he ordering?
They don't know, man.
Is he ordering some?
No, he's talking to us. I think you're on a speaker. Don, if you have us on speaker, if you could take us off speaker, we could hear you better.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I think Kerr is coaching like Jason Kidd. He forgot that, you know, if you're up 18 points, you don't have to keep shooting a three. You know, you guys can drive to the basket and put them under pressure. You know,
I'll tell you what, Don, we say that, and it's the logical thing to say, right? It's logical. It's like Bart in football. It's like you don't have to keep throwing the ball.
Yeah,
right?
Run the ball.
But what happens though is some coaches then will push back and say, but that takes us out of what we do. And we're not playing our way, and you know, that can mess us up. And the next thing you know, we're letting them back in the game because we're not playing our style. What Don said is right, but it's the same thing as a team that you tell them, stop throwing the football, just run it, and they're really not a running football team.
And they fumble it.
And that's what I'm saying. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, it's like the other or they don't get a first down, so now the other team keeps getting the ball back.
But you have players that are capable of that. Like, you got Wiggins who can drive and be aggressive. You know, you got Steph who can create. Like, and if you're hitting those threes, they're going to try and get you off the three-point line.
Celtics played great defense in the fourth quarter.
They just looked up, and nobody knew what happened. Like, what the hell happened? How the hell we get here? Like,
no,
Steph, it was supposed to be easy peasy.
That's exactly what the stunned look on his face was saying
to me.
It
was like, what? It's like, yeah. Ross.
Continuing with Sean in Jersey. Sean, do you still feel like the Warriors are in control, or did last night change your opinion?
I had the Warriors in five. I still have the Warriors in five.
Ooh, explain.
They had to get up to speed, and it was going to take a game. Look who the Bucks played the last three series. KD and Kyrie, the reigning champs. Miami, who was in the finals the year before. Mm-hmm. The last team the Warriors played didn't even have a big man that could play 15 minutes.
True.
The series before that, John Morant was hurt. The series before that, you have a depleted Nuggets team. They have to get up to speed. We know who the Warriors are. They're going to get there. They needed this game. Four straight, five-game sweep.
Done. All right. So Sean's still going with the gentleman sweep, Bart.
Yeah, we kind of talked about this a little bit. Like, the advantage should be to Boston, just like we saw the Rangers jump on the Lightning, the team that wasn't there. But it wasn't like that for three quarters. So that's mm-hmm. what I don't understand. You know, usually that happens. You get blew out the first game. You know, we both all famously remember, like, Allen Iverson going out to L.A. and stepping over Tyronn Lue in the first game, and that was the last game they won.
That's a great point. All right, we'll continue with your calls, 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But also coming up, a little football. 100 days from the first football Sunday of the season. And how many more days before one team realizes they might need a quarterback? We'll discuss. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio.
I like this.
ESPN, 888-729-3776.
So y'all playing this because Al Horford was stunting like his daddy. Got it.
Tito in the building. Al showing out. Flexing on Draymond.
That's going to start a fight.
It's interesting.
Or submission. I don't know.
One or the other. But it just, again, it's just let you know, you got some bullies over here too. And that was an interesting game. So the way that game ended, see, for three quarters I'm watching this thing going, yep, this is pretty much what I was expecting the series to look like. And then the fourth quarter happened and it was like, whoa, what just happened? So I wonder, is that performance going to change how some people are viewing this series and how it's going to go? And we're asking you right now, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We continue with your calls on this. Chris is in Utah. Chris.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, I wonder when the narrative's going to change. You know, when they were gearing up, you know, to play this series, it was all about what are the Boston Celtics going to do to keep from losing this series. And I kind of feel like now it's starting to look like, you know, what are the Golden State Warriors going to do to keep from losing this series?
Interesting.
All respect to Golden State. But like some other people have said, you know, Boston's young. They're hungry. They're very talented. And I know that Steve Kerr is a great coach, but I honestly think that Udoka is going to be the difference in this thing. What happened last night, I guarantee what their game plan was going into game one. What happened last night is not what their plan was. It was his ability to adapt and change his game plan, and it worked. You know, so now they've got to respect all these other guys, you know, and Tatum's, you know, not going to be getting doubled as much. And I just, I feel like, he's a great coach. I really feel like.
I think you're right about the coaching aspect of this. I know everybody looks at him as a rookie coach, but, you know, Steve Kerr lost to Nick Nurse, who was a rookie head coach as well. What I love about Udoka is on the sideline, you could see him in that first quarter when Steph Curry was going otherworldly. And he was just like, we knew this was going to be like this. Like, let's be who we are. Let's lock in. Like, he wasn't – for a guy who was a rookie coach, he wasn't rattled, and he made sure his team wasn't rattled. And then you had Marcus Smart. They had him mic'd up, and how great was that when he was also talking about, hey, this ain't the Heat series. We're not doing it this way. We've got to now adjust and play it this way, making sure everybody was on point, Bart. Having guys like that in the sideline are also valuable in those moments.
No, absolutely. But, you know, this is the thing, right? You know, they're going to play the averages. That's what, you know, veteran teams do. They don't believe that they can sustain that type of shooting from those players, and we'll see if that's the case. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they're making a bad calculation, but they have to play better as a whole.
We shall see. We are back in 10 seconds. Stay with us.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance flexes to fit your business needs, from quick repairs to adjustable coverages and even payment options. Progressive Commercial makes it easy to get what you need. Quote today in as little as 6 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. We are 100 days from the first Sunday, football Sunday, of course, and all the teams that are playing Sunday are celebrating that part of it. And we're also seeing a lot of teams that are in their, you know, off-season workouts and players in camp. And Kyler Murray is with Arizona, but Lamar Jackson is not with Baltimore. Concerns, of course. Quarterbacks are always going to be part of the story. But one thing about what's happening in Miami, Bart, is it feels like they are trying to shove it down our throats that Tua is the guy. Look at this throw. Look at that throw. All this stuff. And there's a lot of people that kind of, you know, don't see it. Kind of wondering if he really is that guy. One is Cam Hayward, Steelers, of course, defensive lineman, on the Mina Kimes Show with Lenny podcast. Listen to what Cam Hayward says about Tua.
I just think their offense, you know, they were so ready to trade Tua, and now it's turned into, oh, he can lead the franchise. I don't know how that works, but, you know, it doesn't sound like that's going pretty good.
Now, Bart, I'm feeling kind of the same way. It was like we're ready to give him away and get a better quarterback to – remember, they were going to go Tom Brady. They were going to go Deshaun Watson. Like, they were trying anything. Well, and now it's like, no. This guy's good. Trust us. This guy's good.
Buying it? Those guys in that building believe that, because that's why Brian Flores is no longer the head coach, because True. He didn't believe that. So you talk about the connection with Deshaun Watson and, you know, pride in and trying to get the GOAT. You can't fault anybody for that. But I believe that the managers there believe that he is the guy. And they're either going to be geniuses or they're going to be sadly mistaken. And they're going to understand they overestimated. And they're going to have to try and scramble to find a new quarterback for the future, because they traded. And this is how you know that they're all in. You can tell Philly's not all in because they made sure that they traded a future pick for next year's great draft in case Jalen Hurts isn't great. And you look at that, they did that so that if he's not great, we built a great team around him. We made the trade for A.J. Brown. But if he can't get it done with this, we're going to make sure that we got the draft capital, because we're not going to have a horrible record to move up and go get one of these guys, whether it's C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young.
Right.
Miami didn't do that. Remember, a couple years ago, they had three, but they used them all up. So – now
building the roster, which is a talented roster, but it's the quarterback now that has to get the most out of those offensive pieces, Tyreek Hill. Now, let me just get to this part of it, Bart, because this is the important part, hearing from the guy that everybody's talking about, which is Tua Tagovailoa. Because, you know, again, at the workouts, he's throwing passes, he's these deep balls to Tyreek Hill. We made the joke about Tyreek Hill and how he described the said balls that Tua throws, and everyone just keeps raving out of Miami about Tua and his ability to, you know, stretch the field and get it to the cheetah. And Tua hears all the haters, hears all the people that are doubting him, and he had this to say in response.
You know, for me, it's just zone that out. I mean, we come out to practice, everyone else, Twitter warriors, you know, keyboard warriors, whatever you want to call them, you know, they're not out here practicing with us working hard. So I don't know if you guys recorded that last one to Tyreek, but I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
Your thoughts?
Wow. See, he was all good until he said, did you see the last one? I hope y'all, I don't know if y'all
recorded
that one.
I'm telling you, right? Like, that's like, I'm with you. The minute he said, I'm like, why?
I don't know if y'all were paying attention. I don't know if y'all was watching, but you saw that? Like, oh, bro, they ain't really in your head. Listen, you either can try and deny that it don't affect you, or you can embrace it. You can say, listen, it does bother me, and it's the only way I can get her done. But, like, the fact that it shouldn't be questions about it, and the fact that I don't want to hear my damn – receiver saying he throws a catchable ball. The hell is that?
Of course you.
So it's an underhand ball, a catchable ball. That ain't an attribute I want to have. He throws a catchable ball. What the hell is that?
Now they have a new coach, Mike McDaniel, obviously. And one thing that Tua does say, he actually did a there was a feature on him in Muscle and Fitness magazine. You might like that part.
And who? Mike McDaniel?
No. On Tua. And Tua said that it's about the play calling, why he wasn't a guy that was throwing downfield more often. He said that it's a little different now. My second year was different than my rookie year, and this year will be different than last year, as I mentioned, because they have a new coach, and how we go about things. I definitely feel a lot more confident being able to push the ball down the field. It's going to be exciting. So I'm going to ask the question. Are the Dolphins all in, or are they going to realize at some point this season we might need a quarterback?
Yeah, they're going to find out in short order, man. Now, you can't hide your quarterback, especially when you have those type of skill positions. But here's the thing. In college, you know, when he came in and won the national championship, he did push the ball down the field. That's the first thing he did.
That throw for the win was an incredible throw.
But here's the thing. We don't know if that's against professional players. How many of those guys that he was throwing against were NFL caliber players.
Yeah,
right?
I have to look back to remember that
defenders,
one, but it was a
right?
memorable comeback game. That second half was amazing.
Yeah,
remember, who did he replace? You remember
Jalen
who he replaced?
Yeah, Jalen Hurts. Exactly. Yeah. Got him up out of there.
Exactly.
Made him transfer. Like, I'm out. You ain't never get
all
a
of it.
Back.
No, there's no doubt. Now, okay, so here's the thing about the Dolphins also to point out. They open at home against the Patriots.
No, that's easy.
Then they are
they do
at
that every
the
year.
Listen, and at Ravens.
Oh. Mm.
Home against the Bills.
Mm.
At Bengals.
Damn.
At Jets.
Damn.
Home against the Vikings. Steelers. At Lions. At Chicago. Like that first 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You're facing some pretty tough defenses. First 7 weeks.
And if they lose to
the
Jets.
I know everybody's going to laugh at the Jets. That Jet defense is not going to be easy this year. That's going to be a tough defense.
They got three qualified corners. Sauce. The guy they got from Seattle.
Yeah, plus they're going to have a pass rush as well. They're going to be able to put a lot on the quarterback.
Yeah, and Bryce Hall was a beast last year. Let's not forget.
So think about that. So, like I said, if that's your first 7 weeks where you're playing Patriots, Ravens, Bills, Bengals, Jets, Vikings, Steelers, that's your first 7 weeks. Will we kind of wonder about Tua by then? It won't even be Halloween yet.
Yeah. It'd be tough, right? You know, you talk about the Patriots, and, you know, that's really usually a game plan game.
Well, yeah, you should week one. You're already ready for them.
And the tough thing is, a lot of times when you're a new coach, you don't know how teams play you because you haven't been in their conference. So you don't know how you're going to be attacked. So that game one is always weird. You know what I mean? You want to get the dub, but, like, it's so unpredictable because you just kind of don't know how you're going to be attacked because teams have a new plan.
Yeah.
They see what you do or don't do well, and they have a whole offseason
right.
to plan for you. You're giving Bill Belichick an entire offseason to prepare for your weapons and try and figure out a plan to box and one Tyreek Hill.
I'm going
to
call it week five.
Who? The Jets?
That's going to be a game where that becomes the narrative.
We see Teddy Bridgewater. If he lose that one, time for
we
Teddy.
We shall see. Big news from baseball. We'll bring an insider in with more on that in Philadelphia and more. It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.